Good morning. It's a beautiful Sabbath day for us to be worshiping our Savior. Before I begin with the message for this morning, I'd like to tell a children's story. So, boys and girls, during this service today, we're going to talk about what we call the one soul audience or the one soul ministry, which means that we help one person at a time. Each one of us has the opportunity to do that. So sometimes young people will say, oh, but I'm too young. I can't do anything. And I don't believe that's true. So this story I'm going to tell you is years and years ago, long before you were thought of, I used to be a teacher here. And my son, Andrew, and my daughter, Bethany, came to school with me every day. One day we were hurrying out of our house and coming to school, and we got here, guess what? I didn't have the key to get into the school. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you, boys and girls. If you go to school here, or if you used to come to church here before, you may have noticed when you walk down the sidewalk to come into church, and I see some people who were at church school here when they were little, you might remember, and the adults as well, there's a mailbox flap. It's a little brass opening in the side of the brick wall, do you remember? And you can open it, and that's where the mail goes through into Mrs. Bartleman's library, and it falls in a box at the bottom, and that's how you get the mail. Well, we were sitting there thinking the children were going to come pretty soon. We got to do something. And I looked at Drew, and he was too big to fit through that slot. But Bethany was just the right size. She was 6 and she was little. And I said, okay, you guys, we've got to put you through the mailbox so that you can come around and open the door. So her brother opened the slot and I lifted her up head first and shoved her through the mail slot. She fell into the box and came around and opened the door. Now, boys and girls, if you aren't little, you couldn't do that. So I just want you to remember that no matter how young you are or how little, there's always something you can do to help. Okay. Now, let's turn to our scripture for today. It's found in Colossians chapter 4. It's verse 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's our text for this morning. Now, when last we met, we talked about Jesus before he was a carpenter. This morning, we're going to talk about Jesus as a teacher. Jesus was the most incredible teacher that ever lived. He taught large groups, 5,000 at a time. He taught small groups, like the disheveled ragtag team of the 12 disciples. And to me, his most remarkable, his most powerful method of teaching was one at a time. When you observe practice teachers, I have this little sideline job for our Fitchburg State, and I'm observing 3 students this semester who are learning to be teachers. Well, they are teachers, but they're working on their master's. And so I have to observe them virtually, of course. So I zoom them, the students zoom the teacher zooms the children, and I'm zooming them. So this is a new way of education, let me tell you. But when you finish, you have to fill out a state form. And when it comes up on the computer, it has 3 boxes and you have to check one. One says large groups, the second one says small groups, and the third one says one-to-one. And I thought, I wonder if the public schools know that they're using the same method of teaching that Jesus did. I figured someday I should tell them. Anyway, in her book, My Life Today, Ellen White describes what's called the one soul audience. And this is what she says. Jesus came in personal contact with men. He did not stand aloof or apart from those who needed his help. He entered the homes of men, comforted the mourners, healed the sick, aroused the careless, and went about doing good. And if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we must do what he did. We must give the same kind of help that he did. The Lord desires that his word of grace shall be brought home to every soul. To a great degree, this must be accomplished by personal labor. This was Christ's method. His work was largely made up of personal interviews. He had a faithful regard for the one soul audience. Through that one soul, the message was often extended to thousands. There are multitudes who will never be reached by the gospel unless it is carried to them. Some of the most familiar examples of the one soul audience found in the Bible would be Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, and maybe even the woman with the issue of blood. Though she was in the midst of throngs of people, the Lord singled her out. Being the master teacher in every way that Jesus was, he spoke directly to one person in a crowd, but at the same time, his lessons were being received by all the people that were standing around nearby listening to him. The Bible is our lesson book. First, Jesus tells us what we should do. Then he tells us how we should do it. And then he gives us an example of others and how they did it. All this so that we can learn how to be his ministers. All three of his methods of teaching reinforces the behavior that he's hoping we will adopt in our own lives. Attending to the one soul audience takes a certain skill, and it's learned with patience, compassion, and sincere attention to the person to whom we are interacting. I read a book once about Jesus as teacher, and it highlighted the fact that Jesus always completely and totally listened to the single soul that was talking with him. He never was thinking ahead of what he was going to respond to them, what he was going to say, like we often do. He waited until the man, woman, or child told their whole story, and then he replied to them. There are circumstances and variables to every record of the one soul audience that we find in Scripture. For example, Nicodemus sought Jesus out. In the case of the woman at the well, Jesus initiated the interview. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the cover of darkness because he was afraid of the Jews. The woman at the well's encounter was held in broad daylight. The demonic and Jesus seemed to be simultaneously coming toward each other. And the thief on the cross was the very last one soul audience that Jesus held. When we go out into the world to do our one soul ministry, sometimes we meet success and sometimes we fail. And sometimes we will not know if we succeeded or failed until eternity. As another example of the one soul ministry, let's look into the Old Testament and read how Eli interacted with Hannah. Earlier, we mentioned the three-tiered method of Jesus' teaching. He tells us what to do, he shows us how to do it, and then he gives us an example of how others played out their assignment. The story of Eli and Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it starts in verse 9. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. Once when they were finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant, on your servant's misery, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to you, Lord, for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drink? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer down. Now, Eli engaged in this one soul audience with Hannah. The scripture says two important things for us to consider in our training for our one soul ministry. One, and I quote, Eli observed her mouth. If we expect to use the method of the one soul spiritual care, how observant should we be? We just read the text together. What else did you observe and that you would have observed if you were there with Hannah? Certainly not just her mouth. I remember when I did a program when I first went to seminary called Clinical Pastoral Education, and I did it for 10 weeks up in Maine at Maine Medical Hospital. And I had quite a mentor. They assigned different doctors to mentor us for this program. And the one I had was a brilliant woman who was in charge of the cancer ward. So when she took me for the first time on her rounds, we went into a room and I stood there and listened to everything she said to the man. And I just stood there and listened and watched. When we came outside, she said to me, so tell me, what did you observe while you were in there? I said, well, and then I told her the color of his hair, the color of his eyes, the pajamas that he had on, the picture that was beside his bed of what I was assuming was his family. I recognized his voice, and of course, I knew his despair. And she, I guess I passed the test because she didn't say anything. But I'm just saying, how much do we observe? We have to observe. If we're going to work for the Lord, we have to know more about them. The second thing that happened in the story, and I quote, Eli thought she was drunk. Eli made an assumption that was totally wrong. How often do we assume we understand the behaviors of others and miss the mark completely? Another example, I was preaching at a Seventh-day Adventist church up in Ellsworth, Maine one time, quite a while ago. And I was standing there talking and talking. And in the back of the row, over here in the corner, there were two men, and they kept talking and talking. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? And I was young and new at it, and I was really distracted. So I stopped, and I said, excuse me, is there something wrong? The man said to me, I'm translating for him. You see, we make assumptions, and they're not always right. So if we're going to work for the Lord, we have to be like him and wait till they tell their whole story and listen and listen. Eli was 98 years old, and he was weak and blinded by age. The Bible says, and it's a quote, he was an old man and heavy. Eli led Israel for 40 years. His leadership was about to end. He no longer had the right spirit within him to attend to the soul that needed him. If we're going to take on the method of the one soul ministry, we need to have the spirit to do it mightily. We cannot slack off or lose our energy. If you're going to do it, you have to go the distance. We have a second example of the one soul ministry found in the New Testament. It's found in Acts 8, verse 4, and then 26 to 35. It's the story of Philip, the evangelist, and when he met the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember the story. Okay, so let's read that one. Chapter 8, we're going to start, and I'm going to read just verse 4 first, and then we'll go to 26. All right. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And then turn over to verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near to it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip said. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip up to sit with him. And the rest is history. So we find the second example, and it points out more different aspects of what we should take into us if we're going to do one soul ministry. And he points out these examples that will strengthen our witness for God. Again, I'll take the quotes from what we just read. The first one, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. We're scattered, even more so now. The Lord desires that his word of grace shall be brought home to every soul. Number two, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. We need to be in the right place at the right time. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He puts us in the right place at the right time. Number three, the Ethiopian eunuch was an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. We are not allowed to pick and choose whom we are going to tell the good news of salvation. Great or small, every soul we encounter needs to hear the sacred message. Chaucer describes the territory that we cover in our ministry beautifully when he says, "Wide was his parish, houses far asunder, but never would he fail for rain or thunder, in sickness or in sin or any state, to visit to the farthest, small or great." Now, there's a second reading to this that I have had taken the poetic license to say. Wide was her parish, houses far asunder, but never would she fail for rain or thunder, in sickness or in sin or any state, to visit to the farthest, small or great. Number four. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And like we said, the rest is history. The teachable moment was handed to Philip on a silver platter, and he did not hesitate. He took it. To be a minister for one soul audience, which we all need to be in these troubled times, we must be interested in representing Jesus. We need to shine for him. We need to be brave. We need to be good listeners. We need to sincerely value the person with whom we are interacting. Think about who you meet on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis in your lives, who may need or benefit from a one soul ministry. Through the years, some of the people that I've come to be attached to in a lovely sort of way are the people at the cleaners, the library, the post office, the bank, and the gas station. For you, it may be others. Maybe it's your hairdresser or your barber or the newspaper person or whomever. But we all have people that we meet on a consistent basis throughout our lives, yes? Who are the people that you see on a regular basis? What topics have you shared with them throughout the years? Are you sometimes surprised by the spiritual conversations that have come up between you? Surprised that the Holy Spirit is standing right next to you? I always go to the same gas station. The attendant on duty is a very friendly young man named Bob. Through the years, he has learned that I have a cabin in North Main Woods, that my husband's a retired firefighter, that just different things that you share with people. He knows that I'm an itinerant minister. And I have also learned several general facts about him. One day, I pulled into the gas station and I was talking on the phone. You know those newfangled phones that you hand-free? So you're driving along and you're talking. And you can't see that you're on the phone. Well, that's what I was doing. He came to my window and I motioned to him, "Fill up the car, fill it up." And I could see the expression on his face that he was disappointed that I was on the phone, so therefore we weren't going to have our usual conversation. I paid for my gas, and then I drove off and went on my way. Instantly, I was ashamed of my behavior. It was rude of me not to hang up the phone and talk with this man, who was my friend, just for the few minutes that it would take me. My conscience got the best of me, and I turned around and drove back, parked my car, got out of it, walked toward my friend and said, "Bob, I want to apologize to you for being rude. I should have hung up the phone." And he said, "Well, I thought maybe it was an important phone call." I said, "No, it wasn't an important phone call. It was unacceptable behavior on my part, and I'm sorry." All he said was, "I don't know anyone who would have turned around and come back to apologize to me." If we're going to be serious about practicing a one-soul ministry to the honor of God, then it cannot be for show. We are most definitely not allowed to be superficial or insincere. Hannah was destitute for God's help. So are we. The Ethiopian eunuch needed to search the scriptures for understanding. So do we. We are the ministers. We are the audience. God has a faithful regard for our soul. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's an exciting time to be living. It's an exciting time to know that you're coming soon. Lord, give us the insight and the creativity and the energy to tell the people, not in a preaching sort of way, but in a life sort of way. Just let us be interested. Let us listen carefully. And let us always be ready to say a word in season to him who is weary. Let us be your sons and daughters. Let us shine so much that people will say, they're a friend of God's. We want to be friends with them as well. Help us do this, Lord. We ask in thy holy name. Amen. When we get to heaven, we'll recognize each other better because we won't be wearing these.